this morning is to, in a sense, conclude the series that I have shared with you over the past weeks, which is the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. And last night, while I was thinking, it occurred to me that I should end where I began, which is to look at the goal of the one who has called us. So what I would like to do, Bumi, if you could actually do this for me, is to put up the scriptures, share the screen so that I won't have to, be concerned about who is going to pull up the screen. But I'll still ask some of you to read. So if we could put up Matthew chapter 16. This is in the New Testament, the Gospel of St. Matthew. Let's open to chapter 16, and I want to, start from there. But could we just, have a word of prayer? Could I just pray for 1 minute? Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the whole universe, who has granted us your eternal word. You have loved us so much, Lord, that you have revealed to us your eternal ways. And we are grateful for the anointed one who will call Christ the Messiah, Yeshua the Messiah. In him we have life. In him we have the forgiveness of sins. And it is because of his work that all of us gathered here who have believed in you call ourselves brethren. And so, Lord, we pray for a greater insight into what it means to be the body of Christ. For this we ask you, strength, enlightenment by your spirit. Amen. 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 So, Brother Bumi, if you could please put up Matthew chapter 16, I would like to read some passages from that. But you should also open your Bible. So if we go to Matthew chapter 16, I want to read a conversation that happened between the Lord and his followers. Matthew chapter 16. Is Bobo me able to post? Okay, I can share my screen for now. I will work in it. Okay, there we go. All right, make it a little bit bigger, much bigger. Much bigger. Really open it up. Chapter 16. Okay, so I'm going to read from verse 13. So I'm going to read from this place, from verse 13, if you are all there. So Matthew chapter 16, and I'm going to read from verse 13. Okay, Brother Bumi, you're putting up 17. So. All right. Okay, so this is what happened. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "What do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said to him, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Jesus said, what do other people say that I am? And they replied, some are saying you are John the Baptist. Some are saying you are Elijah. Others are saying you are Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Why would they have such a notion? John baptized the Lord Jesus not too long ago. So how could he be maybe the resurrected John? Because that's one of the things that Herod was thinking, that maybe John was come back to life. Because the things that he was doing, the teachings, the call to the kingdom of God, the call to repentance, all these wonderful things, they seem to be in line with the ministry of John, who came and he said, "I am baptizing for repentance into the kingdom of God. But there's someone coming. This one, I am not worthy to unloose, the straps of his sandals. He is the one that will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Right. But he says, some are also saying it's Elijah. That's in verse 14. Some are saying it's Elijah. What could that mean? Well, if you go through some parts of the Word of God in the Gospels, the Messiah did raise people from the dead, like Elijah did with, you know, the child that passed away. Elijah, you know, had a lot of miracles. One was the widow of Zarephath that sheltered him. The food lasted for such a long time, and Jesus was able to use the lunch of a young man to feed thousands of people. And then he was calling people back to God, which is the main work of Elijah. So they could think that. Some were saying Jeremiah, because Jeremiah prophesied about the things that will happen to God's nation if they did not follow God. He wept over Jerusalem, and he rebuked the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and the religious leaders, who he said their prayers and their religious deeds were a show. They were doing it for people to recognize them. And he condemned all of that. Well, so they said, or could be any of the prophets. We'll come to that, because he is all of that. But then he said, okay, verse 15, who do you? You have been my companions. You've been with me for a long time. Who do you say that I am? And he said, this is the answer. Simon Peter, verse 16, said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. For most of us, we think that Christ is the surname of Yeshua, of Jesus. No, that's not what it means. It's, this is Jesus, the anointed one, the appointed one that God has designated to be my servant, to be the one to carry out my plans. So anointed is the Christos, is the other way that the Greeks would say it. That's not his last name. This is Yeshua, the Mashiach, the anointed one. He said, that's who you are. And this is the Son of the living God. This is the heir of the living God. And what was the answer of the master? He says, blessed are you, Simon Peter, Bar Jonas, who Simon, the son of Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. You remember, I began this series by talking about the revelation of God is only made possible by God himself, by the Spirit of God. It is not possible for the natural human being to know God. It is not that possible for a human being just to read about God and know God, because God is not like us. God, by the writings of most theologians and mystics, is unknowable. Not that you can't know about him or you can't know about God, but to truly know God, it will require God giving you the ability to behold who he is. It will require you being given an invitation by God to know him. While there are many of us here, you may know about me, but only those of you who are close to me really know me. I always use my father-in-law as an example. There are many people who have read his books, so they have bits and pieces about him. But his children, like my wife, knows him. She doesn't have to read any of his books to know him. She knows how to reach him. You will not, unless you are given that opportunity. She knows things about him. There's a relationship that they have that is unbroken. And that is father and daughter relationship. That's a privilege. Same thing with God. I can't emphasize this enough because I know that most of us, we would like other people to know God a lot. So sometimes we recommend a book. Sometimes we share a video with them. Sometimes we use other tools to ask people to get to know God. The best thing we should actually do, and we should continue to do it, is to pray that God will reveal himself to that person. Because the knowledge of God requires self-disclosure. God does have to disclose his nature to the person who is seeking to know him. And that is why, in talking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, the divine Spirit of God himself, we need to know why it is that we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I can conclude this sermon right now by quoting John chapter 17 from verse 3. This is eternal life, that we may know the true God and Jesus Christ, who he sent. That is the goal of eternal life. So, what does the Lord say to Peter in that same passage? Blessed are you, Simon Jonah. This is verse 17. For flesh and blood, human beings, scientists, psychologists, researchers did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Now, are you hearing this? This revelation, what you know of me, is only possible through my Father who is in heaven. And he says, and I'm also going to say to you now, you Peter, not the Peter, the not Bejude, this Peter, that original apostle, on this rock, this revelation that is given by my Father, I will build my called out ones, not build New Covenant Church. I will build my church, not yours, not your organization, not your ministry. I will build my church. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. In the midst of the things that we're going through in this time that we live in, with the difficulties around the pandemic, the squabbling are by nations. You know, nations are fighting one another. Brother Bumi, you can take off the sharing now. What is going on with the various nations? All the uncertainties of life. We are not sure whether there's another thing coming after this. The quarrel between nations. The disorganization of our economic structure. The fall from grace by so the men and women that we sometimes look up to. God, by his Son, is building his church. It is within these uncertainties, the chaos, the upheavals of our generation, that the Lord is building up his church. And it's called the called out ones. So this is the goal of the anointed one. This is what the Lord is committed to. The Lord is not committed to the greatness of a nation, one nation. He is not, as much as most people may want to co-opt him into it. They want to co-opt, you know, the Lord into making one particular nation great, other particular, you know, another nation. All of these, whether it's climate change, whatever it is that we are involved in, that is not God's main agenda. His agenda is to bring men and women from different nations, from different parts of the world. And I have seen this. I have had a chance to baptize people from South Korea. I've had the opportunity to teach and disciple Japanese believers. I've had chance to share the gospel in Trinidad. I've had a chance to share the gospel in Midwestern Nigeria, in Northern Nigeria, in Southern Nigeria. I have shared the gospel with Jewish and non-Jewish people, with Germans, with Europeans. I've had fellowship with Australians. I have seen what God does of bringing men and women from different parts of life to become his chosen ones, his body, his unit, his loved ones. He continues to do that, revealing himself sometimes one by one in a group, in a cell, in a place of despair. He's revealed himself to people who are on the verge of suicide. He has revealed himself to people in the hospitals who are about to die. And he has come to them with this same revelation. I am the one. Many people have come in the past, but he stood up to say, I am the one. That's what he did to me when I was 16 years old. You should be probably be tired of hearing me say it, but that's my testimony. When I wasn't looking for the Lord, he looked for me. In Kano City, he found me. He revealed his grace to me. And that, like the Apostle Paul said, I am the least of the apostles. He meant it. He said, and I'm not even fit to be called one because I persecuted the church of God. He said, but the grace of God that was in Christ Jesus was abundant with love, with truth, and therefore he has counted me worthy, putting me into this ministry. So this is why we preach the good news. It does work. I want to encourage every one of you, however tight, uncertain things are right now, God is building his church. And he made it certain. Best way in it, I have to say it in pidgin, but there are some people who are here who don't understand pidgin, so let me just keep to the straight and narrow. God has established it. He said, I will build my church. The gates of hell. See, the gates of hell, gates are defensive, protective structures. So it's not that hell is marching towards the church. No, it's the church marching and the gates of hell trying to protect, trying to shut up and be defensive. He said, it won't work. You will see that is the Church of the Living God with the head marching to pull out men and women from the clutches of the king of the prince of darkness. And in there, trying to keep the loot they already have, it's not possible. You know, I'm always intrigued when I hear believers talk as if they are the ones on the defensive. Every meeting they come to, they are looking for the devil to see whether he's going to disrupt the meeting they have with their father. I say, really? Really? You having a meeting in the White House, and you want to provide the security, so you want to take your catapult and your tiny, measly thing to ward off an enemy. When you are in the presence of somebody who controls nuclear, what are you, nuclear weapons? That is the sense in some which, you know, Sister Falaka from Fort Myers, that's how believers do. When they come to God's presence, they want to protect that interaction. And say, just in case God had not set up the security system, let me put it in place. It doesn't work that way. Okay, let's keep going. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. And it is that church that you belong to. So when we talk about spiritual gifts, it is within the context of allowing the Lord to build his church. How does he build his church? In Ephesians chapter 4, we are given that So in Ephesians chapter 4, if you could all go there, and I'm going to ask Sister Folake from Fort Myers to read. Ephesians chapter 4, I would like all of us to go to chapter 4 of Ephesians. How does the Lord build his body? How does the Lord build this church, these called out ones from all the nations? There are believers from every nation on earth. There are believers from Persia. There are believers from Argentina. There are believers from Australia. There are believers from name it, Greenland, Iceland, Canada. There are believers everywhere. And you are members of the same body. In chapter 4, how does the Lord build his body? Sister Folake, can you read for us?
Yes.
Ephesians chapter 4, and I want you to start from verse 7, please.
Verse 7. Ephesians 4, 7. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed to and fro by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Shall I continue?
Yes, keep going. Yeah. Oh,
So,
yes, that's enough. That's enough. Sure, that's it. So let's look at this. Let's look at this. He says, the Lord, when he went up, when he defeated the grave, when he had conquered everything, he had conquered death. He was no longer subject to mortality. Because the uniqueness of the Christian faith, and sometimes people, argue it and find it hard to believe that someone would die and actually overcome death. Yes, if God wants it, God can raise the dead, and he does. And so what is unique about Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, is that he actually overcame death. He did not faint. You don't bury people who fainted. When the Romans crucified somebody, they did it thoroughly because they have to make sure it happened. But on the third day, this is why our faith is triumphant. He rose from the dead. In the process, he went to the Father and presented himself as the sacrifice for the sins of humanity. The Father accepted it, but he had to also, he was rewarded. In that process, he ascended, he led the host of captives, and then gave endowment to humanity. In saying he ascended, we are given that. But then in verse 11, we're told he gave is some to some, he gave the to be apostles, to others to be prophets, to the others to be evangelists, others shepherds, others teachers. What is the goal? Tenny, what is the goal? What is the reason for giving these various ministry gifts? Look at verse 12. What is in verse 12? Verses 12 and 13, what is the reason for which he's given these gifts
Which is
of
given this.
apostleship? Tanya, go on.
Yes. He gave these gifts so that we
you, somebody has a speakerphone. Okay, go on. Yep. I can hear you now. All right. Okay. Don't worry. Sister Kika, if I can hear you, just don't want an echo, but if I can hear you, verse 12, he gave these teachers, apostles, evangelists, shepherds for what? To do what?
He gave them so that he prepared us for work. He gave God's people for works of service.
Yes, it's also called ministry. The reason God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers is not so that we have a worldwide ministry, so they will be jetting from place to place, and they will be calling them great men and women of God. Do you know that there is nobody in the Bible called a great man of God? We know that's a phrase that we invented. You know, we invented that, the great apostle. You ever heard anybody called the great apostle? That's a phrase we invented. He gave those to be apostles, the prophets, evangelists, and the shepherds and teachers to equip, to furnish with the tools to do the work of ministry. So every saint actually has to have something to use to build the body of Christ. So the function of people, whether it's me or your elders, is to make sure every single member of this body, this unit of the body of Christ called New Covenant Church, you all get the tools to do your own service in providing a needed addition to the body of Christ. And what is this? It's for the building up of the body of Christ. And to what end? Until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. A coming together of a maturity in faith and a true knowledge of the Son of God. In Colossians, the Bible says, in him are hidden the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. To live is to know the Son of God. Eternal life is to know him. And the spirit of man, the spiritual person, is fed just as food we feed the body is fed by the word of God, by the revelation, the knowledge of him who created us in true holiness and righteousness. That is how we grow. That is how our spirits are nourished. That is why the Apostle Peter said, grow in grace and in the knowledge of who? In the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the reason why there are teachers, there are apostles, there are prophets. That is why we have prophecy. That is why we have the people gifted with the ability to speak in different languages. That is why we have people who have the ability to interpret different languages, so that the body of Christ may be built up. And in this building up, people who are coming in at any point are incorporated, onboarded. You know, when you bring somebody into a workplace, you have to onboard them into the system. You have to show them how that enterprise works. You have to show them what is the HR, what is it this, what is it this. You have to give them the tools to work with what the goal is. You know, my friend who is here, my dear, is going to be coming to Johns Hopkins shortly. When she gets to her lab, they are going to show her how things work. They are going to show her the systems, what she needs to do to be able to do the work, the goal. It will be different from what she was doing at Cornell. So there will be an onboarding system to help her understand how to achieve the results of that unit. In the same way, when you come into the body of Christ, in accordance with the mission that was given to us by our Savior, he said to those who had seen him come up from the dead, said, go into all of the world, all of the nations, and make followers of mine, disciples, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you to the very end of the age. And we are told they went about doing all of these things, and the Lord was with them, confirming with signs and wonders the words that they were speaking. That is why if you fellowship with somebody from Afghanistan who is a believer, you'll be speaking the same language, because the Spirit of God onboards that person the same way you are being onboarded. Is this making sense? You can raise up your thumb. If it's now, you can do this, then you can ask your question in the chat. Let's finish. Of the knowledge of God to mature manhood, to maturity, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Whenever you hear people say that's a successful ministry, you say, what do you mean by successful ministry? Do you mean the members of this ministry are now in the level where they have reached the stature of Christ? Are they like Paul, who can say, follow me as I follow Christ? Is that what you mean? Or are you saying you now have 10,000 members and you have an annual income of 300 million? Is that what you're trying to say to me? Are you saying to me that the members of your congregation, this particular ministry, this successful ministry, they now know how not to walk in the flesh, but they walk in the spirit? That there are no people in our group who are still quarreling with a member of the body? Is that what you mean by a successful ministry? If that, then thank God, because that is the goal. Are you saying that no member of this body will be deceived by false prophets and false Christ and false teachings? It says to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Messiah, so that we no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness. The other word in Pidgin is wayo. You know, people who do wayo. People who are selling pawpaw seeds so that you can send them money and say, if you planted that seed, when you eat that fruit, you will be healed. And people are actually sending money to them. Oh, my goodness. They are carried by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. You saw how many people almost wanted to kill themselves in the last election we had here because of prophets whose mind are darkened, false prophets who follow the ways of Balaam, the very sons of Korah, of the brood of Cain, whose God is their belly and whose glory is in their shame. They are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Last year, they led people. And even when they had been exposed, they would not repent. They have a new prophecy now that they are going to install their so-called in August. Well, August is coming up. And people swallow those things. I remember there was a time that people were going to practice rapture in a place like Ilorin. Is Ilorin a high place in Nigeria? Is that, I thought Jos was higher than Ilorin. Brother Wale, is Ilorin a high place in Nigeria? Does it have mountains?
I think so. We call them the high people.
Oh, some believers wanted to go there, like Icarus. You know Icarus and his father who put on wings and with wax. They wanted to go and start practicing the rapture. And people followed them. Jos, that's what we mean. You hear in Nigeria all these, mountain of fire, mountain of this, mountain of that. All those things that have imported witchcraft into the gospel. They are cunning, human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Follow the money. Always follow the money. You will know when you follow the money. That is why people can demote pastors, because they are not bringing enough returns. Could you imagine Peter demoting Paul and say, you are no longer an apostle? The call of Paul is not from Peter. Nobody can remove your investiture as a called minister of the Lord unless they called you. The only way you can remove Brother Wiley's calling is if you called him. If he's called by the Lord, there's nothing you can do. Is this making sense? We are supposed to be mature by this gift we have. So, look at it. Verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, because love is the end of all things. If you know, sometimes I speak very fast, so you always have to tell me, slow down. In chapters 12, 13, and 14 of the first letter to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul went on to explain to them that even having the spiritual gifts that they have, if love was not the reason or the operate, you know, the way you say the operating system, it was all in vain. He says, speaking the truth in love, all the prophecy, all the teaching, all the evangelism in love, being done in love, we grow up in every way into him who is the head, the Messiah, from whom the whole body, held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly. Note that. When Sister Shade, when Brother Wale, when Toby, our sister, when Brother Tunde Ademiju, when Brother Bumi, when Sister Kemi, when you are all contributing your part, each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. I want to come back to this place because however gifted you are, however many languages you speak in or you can interpret, if this is not the goal, you will have built on a different foundation. This is how the Apostle Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let me ask Bonale to read for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The brethren there were having problems. They did not understand what God was doing. So the Apostle Paul had to explain to them, because they were all taking different flags. My flag is that of St. Paul. My flag is that of Apollos. Oh, I follow David Jeremiah. Oh, no, me, I follow Spurgeon. Me, no, I am an Anabaptist. I am a Calvinist. I am this. That's what we do. Well, the Apostle Paul, this is what he says. Read from verse 5. No, actually, read from verse 1. So we just get it from verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 1, please. We can't hear you, Sister Bonale. We can't hear you. Okay. Increase your volume also. Thanks.
Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants, through whom you came to believe as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. For what has been built survives, but the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames.
That's enough. Thank you. Thank you. So there are many things that the Lord revealed to the Apostle Paul. And his servanthood or his service, his ministry, is an encouragement and an inspiration to all of us. He understood what we call the body concept, that we are all in this for a common purpose. He says, if there are still people who align themselves based on, oh, I follow this person, I like to follow this person, he said, you are still carnal, you are worldly. Oh, that must sting some people. Oh, my goodness. That must really sting. Really? I follow John Wesley. Oh, me, I like George Whitfield. I like this. That's me. He said, they are still worldly. Oh, my goodness. That must really hurt. He said, who are these people by any? Who are they? Who is Brother Kumuyi? Who is this person? He said, they are just servants through whom you believed, as God has assigned to each. One plants, another waters, but God gave the growth. You should be, praise God for that. It's God who controls the growth. If people say, so New Covenant Church, when are you going to be a mega center? Say, ask the Lord. Is that even his will? We don't know. We just do what he commands us to do. He gives the increase. And that is why I say you should make sure that everyone within the fellowship knows what God has commanded or equipped them with, old and young, our grandmothers, our grandfathers, our young ones, our middle-aged ones, our professionals, our non-professionals. Every one of us needs to really find out, what is it that God has given me to use to build this part of the body so that we are all moving towards the same goal? And need I say that it requires the mentality of a servant. Servants is all it requires that we be found faithful. So he says, so we are nothing. The person who plants and the person who is watering, we are working towards the same purpose. He said, we are God's fellow workers. That's amazing. We are God's co-laborers. It's another translation. We're not in it alone, but we are God's field, God's building. You remember Jesus said, I will build God's building. You are the building of God. God's building. God's building. God's building. God's work. God's work. God's infrastructure. You are part of what God is building. You are part of what the Messiah says, I will build. Nothing, the gates of hell cannot prevail. He who plants, waters are one, each will receive wages according to his labor. according to the grace of God given to me, according to the enabling that God has given to Paul, the apostle, like a skilled master builder, like an architect who knows how to design, I laid a foundation. Someone else is building upon it. The house I'm sitting on today was not the work of one person. A number of people came together to put this together. So that, Brother Bumin, we have an illustration of John chapter 14. In my father's house, there are many rooms. So God has given Brother Bumin that, you know, is illustrating for you a biblical passage. All right, let's move on. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For one, no one can lay a foundation other than that which has been laid, which is Jesus, the Anointed One. There is no other foundation that can be laid. You know, people accuse us Christians of being arrogant, that we say, no, we did not say. I am not saying. Elijah did not say that the way to God is through his son. I didn't say it. The Son of the living God said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to my Father except through me. You can go to any other place you want, but not if it's the Father, the Almighty One, the Creator of the universe, there is a pathway to that one. If you want to go to another place, oh yes, if you want to go to Detroit, don't ask me the way to Washington, D.C. You will have to ask for the way to Detroit. If you want to go to Germany, don't ask me for the route to Australia. If you want to know the Father of the Spirit, the Creator, the Holy One, the Ancient of Days, the one who made all things, who upholds all things, if you want to know that one, you will go through his son. But if it's Ojugual or some of these deities that you want to get to, I can't help you. You have to go and ask the priest of those deities. I can't help you. If you're looking to know the one who made all things, the Holy One, the Ancient of all mysteries, the one that everyone must bow before, the one who created all things, who made the birds, who made the flowers, who cares for every creature. Brother Peter was telling me yesterday, these tiny ants, they have eyes and they can think. And you can't even, where would you even find the brain? The one who cares for them, the one who tells the oceans, this is how far you can go. If it's that one you want to reach, you will have to go by his son, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to my Father except through me. That's why we preach the gospel. I had to contend with that. I had to submit to that revelation. And that's how we know. So he goes saying, and I'm going to quickly round up now, saying, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus, the Son of the living God. Now, if anyone builds upon it, without foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, your work will become manifest on the day. That's up to us. Like Joshua said to the group of people that he was leading, you have to decide who are you are going to serve and how much you are going to devote to God. You are going to decide whether God is always going to be an afterthought in your day-to-day activities. Whether it's when you have settled every other thing, you say, oh, I still have 2 hours left. I have some 5 minutes for you now. That's up to you. But if you say, no, the one, the foremost, the first, and the last must receive the best. That's what I'm going to give. That's up to you. The ball is in your court. It's in my court. How we respond to the living one, that's up to you. How we serve, that's up to you. You want to have spiritual gift, but you have to be ready to serve the body. You have to be ready to serve the master in the way he designs. I remember years ago, I had the call to go to Trinidad. I was trying to explain it to people. And they said, what exactly will you be doing in Trinidad? I said, I don't know. You don't know what you're going to do in Trinidad? I said, I don't know, but I have been asked to go there. It was when I got there. In fact, it was 3 days later that I discovered what I was sent there for. I was sent to go and meet this couple who were pastoring a church in Icacos, in the southwestern part of Trinidad, 11 miles from the coast of Venezuela. Poor, very poor neighborhood. No electricity. We were driving and coconuts were falling on the road and the goats. I said, this is like the kind of place I grew up. I mean, this is just like the place where I grew up. Except we didn't have a car then. Then we went to this small congregation. People of East Indies, they were worshiping God. I can never forget it. In a passionate, pure, focused dedication to God. I said, this is what I came for. And I'm trying to explain to this brother, this pastor, why I came there. He said, so brother Lodger, Pastor Lodger, why did you come? His name is Anim. I said, Anim, I really don't understand. I was asked to come, so let me tell you why. So on the Wednesday, he and his wife, Natasha, came to the place where I was renting. I was renting a hostel from a Catholic group called Zion's Community Center. In San Fernando. I'm still trying to find out why am I here, but I knew I was supposed to be there. So I started explaining to them how I got this desire to come and how I got in touch with, Sister Mary from a boyhood friend who I discovered was a physician in San Fernando in Trinidad from my hometown in Ecuador. I found my friend Patrick was a physician in that town. He said to me, you can rent from these people. But he said, I don't know poor people. I don't know people you're looking for, but you can connect with these people. So that evening, Natasha and Anim, they came to me. I said, this is what brought me. And they were crying. Natasha said, God answered our prayers. We were asking God to send somebody to us. We were asking God, send somebody to us. We were so exhausted. And he sent somebody from New York. He sent a Nigerian from New York State to come to us. I'm baffled. Now, before Anim came to pick me up, when I was dressing up in the morning, the previous day, something told me he will look like your junior brother. When Anim comes, he looks like me. For Sister Mary said, hey, Alujah, that's how she, Alujah, actually, her name looks like you. So we were talking. I'm still trying to understand because this is new for me. And as we were discussing, we formed a partnership. Well, let's fast forward. Anim and his wife had been married for 10 years. They had no child. They came to visit us in Ithaca. They met the brethren who sent me. There was a sister who gave me $800. I said, Alujah, I believe what you say. Go. She gave me cash. My wife said, when are you going to book your ticket? I booked it. So I went. Eventually, we sponsored them to come and visit us because they wanted to know who are these brethren. They thought it would be a big fellowship. No, it's just a group of us meeting to pray and study the Torah. So they came and stayed with us. It was like heaven on earth. We had a fellowship of prayer, and it was amazing. I showed them Stewart Park and different parts of the town. Well, today, Anim and his wife, they have 2 daughters. They are expecting their 3rd child. They are still ministering faithfully in Ithaca. If I send you a picture, you say, Alujah, Anim looks like your younger brother. He looks like me. This God that we serve is wonderful. You will have to personally know God for yourself. I can try to entice you, but it will be up to you. A.W. Tozer once said, God is winsome. You know, that's an old English word. God is very winsome. God is easy to live with. It's a gladsome, that's an old English word again. It's a gladsome relationship. Those who know God, they will tell you how sweet it is. And that's why the Bible says, you taste and see that the Lord is good. The taste is in the eating. You have to do it yourself. I can't do it for you. You want to know how something tastes? Put it in on your tongue. You want to understand the goodness of God that we sow, it will break you. You'll be on your floor. You'll be weeping like a baby when God's goodness overwhelms your soul. When God's grace overwhelms you. When I think of how God rescued me from many areas of disaster, it's too much. And so the call to serve God is nothing. It's a privilege. Are you kidding me? I will pay to serve God. The Apostle Paul said, look, when you hear people saying, what I have lost for God. What? You lost your shame. You lost your anxiety, your depression, your filthiness. That's what you lost. And you hear people saying, you know, I could have signed a $1 million contract with this to come and serve God. Oh, go take the $1 million contract. Go and play the soccer now. You know the song. Go follow lawyer now. You know the black pigeon. The man who was trying to wrestle with somebody because he was a fisherman and his wife wouldn't pay attention. They said, go follow lawyer now. Yeah, you see, God, if it's a man, yeah, and the rest you want to go on. That's what Joshua was telling them. If it's the gods of the father across the Jordan that your father served, the gods who cannot speak, the gods made of stone, the gods made of whatever, maybe fish, and all of those gods with seven heads and, you know, frightening things like the Jurassic Park. If that's who you want to serve, he said, go follow them. Go on. Go do it. But you want to serve the God of glory, the King, the Holy One, who in his beauty of holiness, the angels have to basically, you know, use their wings to close their faces. Then you are in for a treat. In conclusion, the Apostle Paul said something in Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 14. In Ephesians chapter 3, I'm going to conclude with this. Ephesians chapter 3, I'm going to read from verse 13. No, I'll read from verse 14. Ephesians, this is what it says. For this reason, you have to have gone on top to see what he was talking about. Actually, let me say it. Let me read it. Ephesians chapter 3. Let's go up a little bit. Verse 1. Ephesians chapter 3. And then we're going to end here. I'm going to play a song. And we can close this service with that beautiful song. So Ephesians chapter 3. This is what it says. Verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ, on behalf of you Gentiles, he said, if you for any reason have heard of the stewardship of God's grace given to me, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation. It says, as I have written briefly, when you read this, you can perceive my insight. When you read this, you will perceive my insight. And what is that? Into the mystery of Christ. A mystery is that which is hidden but is now being revealed. It was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles would become fellow heirs, members of the same body, partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. This is the mystery that people did not know in the time past, that the other nations that were not Jewish, not Israel, all of the nations on earth that God always wanted to bless. Like God said to Abraham, our father, God said to Abraham, sometimes I could call Ibrahim, I'm going to bless you. I will make you a blessing. In you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God has made good on that promise. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. Verse 8. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, not just the apostles, of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of the Messiah and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church, the called out ones, this church that the Lord is building, through this church, the manifold or the variegated, the many-sided wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This is according to the eternal purpose that he realized in the Messiah, our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you. Verse 14, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. Nigerians, Afghans, Germans, English, Americans, Iranians, Israelis, Saudis, everyone. It says, look, in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you what? Read it to yourself. You don't need to unmute. Read it to yourself. He may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that the Messiah may dwell in your heart by faith. You being rooted, grounded in love, you may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of the Messiah that surpasses knowledge, and that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think, according to the power at working in us, to him be the glory in the church in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Let me say one thing here, and then I'll close. That he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being. Every person that encountered God collapsed. Ezekiel, the Lord had to strengthen him and pulled him up. Daniel, the same thing. When John the Apostle saw some things, he fell down as one dead when he saw the glory of the risen, exalted Lord, until the Lord laid a hand on him and said, get up. That's what we mean when we say to be strengthened by the Spirit in our inner being. The revelation of the mighty God is beyond us. That is why none of you can look straight at the sun. You can't. Well, if you mind, they say you want to try it, go and try it. Look at the sun dazzling in its strength. You can look at it. So for you to be able to look at it, I know that some people were putting leaves in their eyes during the eclipse. You have to use a special instrument. So to be able to see the sun in its glorious form, you have to wear some protective gadget. In the same way, to interact with the might, the majesty of the great one, of the one that nothing in heaven and earth is clean enough to behold, you need strength. You need God to strengthen you. You need the Lord to give you the ability to receive this revelation. And that's what he provides with to all of us. This is the kind of Christianity I want. I want the kind of Christianity that is like the experience of Abraham, that God said, I want you to prove your love to me. Go offer your son. Not the one that gives me mansions and cars and worldly things and I forget God. I don't want it. I want the type that floods my soul with an overwhelming sense of worthlessness in the presence of the great God, that I have nothing to say, that I'll just be babbling, but very happy to be in the presence of my God. That's what I want. I want to be grounded and rooted and to be able to comprehend with all the saints. I want to know the love of Christ. I want to know why Jesus loved me. I would love to know why God cares for me. And I would like to respond in kind as much as I'm able to. That's what I want. That's for me, it's a fulfilled life. A fulfilled life for me will be to be able to apprehend that for which I have been apprehended. I would love to be able to say I've kept the faith. I've fought a good fight. I don't want to be remembered for the books or books, you know, written or not written. I don't want to be remembered for sermons. I want to be remembered for one thing. He loved God. That's all we should desire. Don't let anybody fool us. Name it and claim it. I don't want to name and claim anything. I want to be found perfect in the Lord Jesus. And that's not enough, then, okay, it's enough for me. Let us pray. Let us pray. I want a few of you to unmute yourself. Brother Wale, Brother Kunle, Sister Folake, Brother Keskem, all of you, just raise up your voice one after the other and pray for us that we might be accounted worthy to stand before the Son of Man. Let us pray.
Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for your word that is constant. Your word says that we will know your truth, the truth, and the truth will make us free. Thank you for always generously blessing us with your truth so we're not carried away with a multitude. Thank you for this morning. Father, we pray at this hour that it will please you, Father, to strengthen your word in our hearts. It's to us with finite days here on earth, it looks often like a very long journey. There's so many paths to it, Father, and we just daily depend on you to remind us. We daily depend on you to set our minds right. We daily depend on you, Lord, to put your word in context as it applies to our daily lives, our involvements, our engagements, that Christ may be glorified at all times. Father, essentially, please revive us, Lord. Every day we need a revival by your Holy Spirit. Lord, we heard several weeks ago about the fruits of the Spirit. Father, give to us the grace to bear this fruit. Father, in the last few weeks prior to today, we heard about the gifts of the Spirit to make us united, to equip us for this work, which essentially it's impossible for us to walk in of ourselves. Father, pray that it pleases you to increase this gift. And today we're refocused again, Lord, as to why we have these gifts. The foundational truths set our focus and our eyes that we may know Jesus Christ our Lord. At times, Lord, all of these are just a lot to absorb. But by your Holy Spirit, you can strengthen us. Help us, Lord, that we'll be different. That not so much is different as successful in what you have called us to do. We just rely on you, Lord. Help us not to forget. Give us the muscle and the peace of all of this information we need for the moment. As we go about our day, help us not to forget. We ask in Jesus' name.
Father, we thank you, Lord. Indeed, you have demonstrated your love once again to us this morning by reminding us of that which you have called us to, Lord. We thank you, Lord Almighty. And our prayer is that we will be fruitful and productive in your vineyard. We pray, Lord Almighty, that in our service to you, that to be solely to please you, to build up one another in the knowledge of Christ. Lord, like my brother prayed, Lord, in our own strength, we know we cannot do this, but you've made provision for us through your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for this. We pray that the blood of our Lord that was shed on the cross of Calvary will not be in vain upon our lives. That we will be found faithful when you indeed come back. Thank you for that name. In Jesus' name.
As we seek your face, may we know your heart. Feel your presence, acceptance, as we seek your faith. At your feet, we fall, sovereign Lord. We cry, holy, holy, at your feet we fall. Jesus, draw us closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around us fade away. Jesus, draw us closer, closer, Lord, to you, for we desire to worship and obey.
Thank you, Father. Thank you for giving us this time to fellowship with one another. And we trust in all the prayers we've offered to you, and you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we can ask or think. Amen. Amen. Thank you all. Thank you.